so like I know everyone. So it's not, except for that. There's a camera right there and I don't like it. Okay. I did want to start off by saying, yeah, I was in California, but he did that for me already. So that's great. I'm heck of nervous, so I'm going to go ahead and pray first. So, Jesus, we thank you for everything that you have given me and the fact that I have to be, emotions, yay. The fact that I get to be surrounded by people that do love and care for me, it's very pleasing. And that things I'm going to talk about today can impact home. Yeah, just thank you, Jesus, for everything you have done. Now I'm going to read from my phone. So I made all of this during the California blackout, so everything is written on my phone. So there's no PowerPoint, so we could ignore that. Just look at the pretty picture. But I wanted to title what I'm talking about today. It's called The Greatest Letter, and I'm going to be talking about Romans. And when I first started knowing God, I started reading the Bible, and I was like, this is a little bit of BS. Like, honestly, I was like, this is judgmental. You're judging me. I don't know how I feel about this. Jesus, like, you're just like really hypocritical and judgmental and manipulative. I was like, that was honestly my first thoughts being a Christian. I was like, this is a manipulative God. Why do you worship such a thing? And then I started being in like coming here, and then I used to be up there, and I used to think the same things while up there. And I was like, why are these people letting me do this? And that's because they saw past all these things, all these negative things that I said about me towards God, towards all the sins that I have done as well. People saw past that in here. And I want to encourage everyone to keep doing that, because here I am now. And I want to talk about how exactly that mindset can be changed from that religious mindset of looking at that this is what God is. He is a law. He is a religion. He is a tradition. You have to do this to be just like this. If not, you are no longer accepted. Obviously, that's not the case. And we're going to talk about today. So that's what I read during Romans and starting getting into the Bible, reading it in a sense of relationship, in a sense, instead of reading it in a sense of law. Like, you have to do this to be in relationship with Jesus. No, you do not. You read it because you want to know him more. And that's the heart position that you should read it from. So while I'm reading Romans, I hear God just say, this is my greatest letter. And I started doing like an in-depth, like hermit crab inside my room reading the Bible. I was that person for like a few months. And he started talking to me about everything that's in there. And I want to really focus on Romans 1 through 4. So best place to start is the beginning. And like I said, I made this during the California blackout. So just go ahead and read it if you'd like. But I'm going to do an in-depth study of it right now. So just to start off with the background, we start off with Romans, as we all know. Romans is a giant four-section letter with 12 subparts that was written to the Romans during the Roman Empire. Get it? Because it's called Romans? And that was the author, as we know, is Paul. And for all of you people who don't know who Paul is, like I did, I'm going to tell you. And it's really interesting. So back in the olden days, I hear people laughing at me. I'm nervous. So back in the olden days of Caesar and that jazz, there was a guy named Paul, but he was originally not known as Paul. He was known as Saul. Yes, I did not know that. And then you start reading more, and Saul was a Pharisee and a Jewish rabbi. And for people who don't know what that is, like myself, a Pharisee were the people who just try to poke holes in all of Jesus's stories, everything. If Jesus came into something and went, I want to heal you of your broken knees, they were like, nah, man, it's the Sabbath. You can't do that. You cannot love on people at all. Are you going to? And try to like push religion down so much on him and try to like just complete enmity of Jesus. And so he was also a Jewish rabbi, which means he was all religion, all tradition, all laws. If you do not do this, you are nowhere, you're not even allowed like 10 feet of where I am. Don't even come near me, you sinful creature. That was a Jewish rabbi on that times, and a Pharisee as well. So short comes to short, Saul was a man who just despised Jesus. And then when he was crucified, they were like, yes, we won. This man is dead. And then he came back. And what is funny to me when I was reading this, because I was like putting myself in Saul's shoes, is like Saul has a encounter with Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. They thought they killed him. They were like, he's dead. We won. Imagine someone you despise so much coming up from the dead and going, hey, how you doing? In the middle of your doorstep. Just imagine that. I find that so funny. Just imagine. Oh, it's so funny. Like, oh. Anyways, it makes me laugh on the inside. So Saul is having this encounter with Jesus because he just comes up and goes, hey, how you doing? And Jesus, this is an enemy. I just explained to you what a Pharisee and a Jewish rabbi is. This is an enemy of Jesus. And he goes, I want you to be my representative. I want you to be my apostle. Let's just focus in on that right now. I'm going to turn this off because it's distracting. Saul, hate Jesus equals hate. Jesus goes, not today. I want you to represent me, even though you despise me so much. And that is exactly how I was. I actually seriously despise Jesus, and yet here I am today representing him. And that is what is known as an apostle. And that is because Jesus decided to go, I do not see what you did before. Yes, you have tried to condemn me, and yes, you killed me, technically. This, I like, if you look about how crucifixion was, it is terrible. It is terrible. This man, they put thorns in his head. They lashed him so many times, public humiliation. And this man had to carry his own cross, the thing that killed him. And yet, this is a man that condemned him to that. And Jesus went, no, I don't see all of that. I see your potential and I see your worth. And I want you to represent me. And so he has this amazing encounter of love. I keep looking at that screen. It's so fun. So terrifying. They're watching me. So we see this radical encounter of love. And I want to take and focus in on that right now and say that that is a perspective we should be having. I am sick and tired of people coming up to me and going, you know Jesus? Like, you? Like, they're expecting me to judge them. No, I do not. I don't care, honestly. I should be only caring about my relationship with the Lord and not about yours. That's for you to discover, not for me. And so I want us to focus in on that and just, so good. That's like only one little little bit. There's so much more. And if I go on, I don't know, it's like someone can like just throw a paper at me if I'm like 5 minutes or something. So Saul has this encounter, and in that encounter, he goes from what we call in Bethel terms is the old man to the new man. So he actually changes his name from Saul to Paul and is this new creation in God, which is also wanting to focus on that right now is when you have this love encounter with God, either that be a long progression or short in a snap. For me, it was long, so it took a little while. But you should not have to hold on to your baggages. You should not have to hold on to your cross. You should not have to hold on to your old sins, because in this newness that we are going to be focusing on, in this newness of God, you're a new creation. So don't start looking at what you did. Start looking at what you can be. That's what you should be focusing on. And that is something also we're going to highlight today, too, is that newness, which means old covenant and new covenant, which is something we really focus on a lot. So we're going to learn a lot today. We're going deep in there. Sounded bad. Thanks. Okay. Can I even read my own handwriting? I wrote this in the dark, too. I typed it up, and I didn't save it. Terrible person. Okay, I did write it. Did I? Yes, I did. Okay. So, like I said, we're going from this old to new. So we're going to actually focus on that. So that's the first section of Romans, is we get to see this new transition. And this is a story of how our transition, our lives, should be when we know the new resurrected Christ. Newness, nay, we love new things. New cats, new dogs, we just got a new cat. I didn't know how that happened. And so now he is an apostle of Jesus, which means he is the representative. We just went over that. So he goes out and has this radical encounter with the new living Christ, not this old covenant lost at religion, how Abraham was, as we all know. Yeah, that's a whole story in itself. But this old religion, this old thing, is now coming into a new. So he starts building churches. Yay. We love those. We're in one. So I'm nervous, so I make jokes. So he makes churches all around Rome. And his inspiration, as many of us would love to do, is go ahead and spread that out. Not for representative of ourselves, but for representative of what God is. Faithful, promising, and joyful. Yay, we love those things. We love them. I do. I don't know where I would be without it. So he goes ahead and makes churches. And at this time, the emperor at the time, I don't remember which name it was. I'm terrible at that. But he kicked all the Jews out. Jews in this text of the Bible. That was very bad. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm very comfortable in this setting. If I were back at school, I would not be acting this way. But fine. This is how I usually am. So in the Bible, that text, the Jewish religion usually meant the old mindset. So when they were kicked out and we were making this new church, the Gentiles came in. They represent the new covenant, the New Testament. So just imagine this. This old set of people, this whole group of civilization just gets kicked out for 5 years. They're gone. No one's ever seen them. And now there's a new church rising up. Completely different from everyone's mindset, because one, Jesus did die on the cross for us. He made a new transition for us, and we're going to start to see that. This is why Romans is, in fact, the greatest letter, because we get to see the greatest things that we can come from being new creations. Right, so flash forward 5 years, the Jews have been kicked out, and then these churches rise. 5 years is a lot of time for churches to rise, especially with an apostle like Paul. So they rise up pretty big. And the Jews have returned, and they're like, what the actual heck? I think the biggest example, and I started laughing at this, was like, imagine giving a kid a board game and not letting them know the rules at all, and they just became a different board game, and you come in and you're like, those aren't the rules. The heck? That's exactly what it was. They came in and they were like, these are not the rules and regulations that we set for the church. What the heck's going on? I think a lot of us can attest to, we see people all the time feeling judged, relented, discarded, because they don't follow the rules, either that be in a church or either that be in a certain workplace, whatever it may be. I feel like we can all relate to that. So we come into this thing. They're like, these are not the rules we set. What the heck are you doing? And they're over here. So the Gentiles, which is the new creation, have these sets of freedoms. These are things they choose, not the things they are forced to do. I want to highlight that. You are choosing to do this. No one is forcing you to do this. You should never feel forced, because love isn't forceful, or else that would be manipulation. So the Gentiles are setting up these things and saying to the Jews, no, you are free in Christ to do what you choose. You don't have to be, like, example, you don't have to be a rabbi to have a relationship with God. You can be a farmer of seeds and still be a lover of Jesus. It does not matter. And they're saying that radical love is truth over the judgment that you have. And so that is something that's new. And the Jews come in and saying, like, you have to eat kosher. And what are you doing healing on the Sabbath? You're not allowed to love on people on the Sabbath. That's God's day. That makes me weirded out and laugh at the same time. That's God's day. You can't do what God says in the Bible on God's day. You can't heal. You can't give food to the poor on God's day. How dare you do such a thing? Think of yourself. How dare you? So coming in, there's naturally going to be a divide in the church now, because now we have this new mindset of God, this newness. This is what we are today, and I feel like this church does represent it very well, and I'm very honored to come from here, is no one looks at a perspective of judgment. And we shouldn't either. They're like an aspect of radical love over judgment, which is what Saul did when he became Paul. Radical love over judgment. Over here, they're like, I'm not in screen, but it's fine. Over here, they're like, excuse me, why aren't you circumcised. Sorry. Why aren't you circumcised? Why don't you do this? You have to sit down when we do worship. You cannot stand up. You cannot go ahead and be a scholar. You know, back in the day, Jewish people were not allowed to be medical professionals. They were not allowed to participate in any sort of medicine in the slightest. You're not allowed to drink this tea, or else God's going to cast you down to hell. Sorry, man. But over here, they're like, does not matter what you do because God died for all of that, so we can be free to make our choice. That is what radical love is. It's the loving willingness and freedom to make a choice and trusting in that choice. And that's for us to do, and that's what God did for us. He trusts us with a choice. I'm slurring my words, but it's fine. He trusts us with a choice. You have the choice. I'm sorry. It's, like, amazing because, like, the amount of times I was here in this church alone and people were giving me choices, and I was like, nah, man, I do too many of these things. I have depressing thoughts about myself all the time. Why the heck do you want me to be up here? I want to die every day. Why do you want me here? I do these terrible things to other people most of the time because I'm so sad and I make them feel bad for it. You want me to go love on people? Excuse me. And that's because that's what God does for us. He sees the gold in everyone and then he goes ahead and puts that out. He does not care what the enemy says, that those bad things. You should not either, for yourself and others. Stop. I'm going to stop my message real quick here just to put in the point. Stop. Please, dear God, stop. I'm so sick and tired of people like coming up and saying they're wounded from a church or they're wounded from other people, not even the church in general. Let's just go ahead and put church out of it. Let's go ahead and put this in real life terms. You are going ahead and you are out and you see someone doing weird things. You can either go, that's weird, and reject them for that, and go, I wonder why they're doing that. Let's go ahead and figure out the problem and try to help them. And that's their choice if they want to be helped or not. And that's where we love on them. So let's go ahead and do that instead of being these religious, mindsetted, lawful people and go, you got gauges? Sorry, man, can't be in the church. I hear that so many times. They're like, you have tattoos? Who are you? Get away from me. You don't love the Lord? How are you to say I don't love the Lord? People? My God. And what's also interesting in that is, too, I was going to walk away from that, and Jesus kind of interrupted and went, stop right there. And he brought me to something else, and he was like, so remember how we said there's new and old? But remember, both of these people did terrible things. The Gentiles were not perfect. The Jews were not perfect. We're not perfect. Boom. I'm so sorry to burst your all bubbles, but none of you are perfect. And does not mean you should judge other people for their imperfections either, because Jesus didn't, which means you don't, and that's your choice if you want to do that or not. I'm very strange, okay? I'm going to bring out this second set of notes, though, because I was smart and wrote down the last bit of what I was going to talk about. Don't worry, we still got some meat there. Are you all following? Everyone okay? Giving me a thumbs up? Okay, awesome. Like I said, if I don't know what time this ends, so just throw paper or something at me when we're good. Alrighty then. Where did I write? This is backwards. Okay. So naturally, there is a divide in the church. Let's just put this in out-of-church perspective, too, because church is not a bubble. Jesus is everywhere. So let's get us out of church perspectives. Here, yes, the church is a divide, and Paul sees that. But let's go ahead and put that in outer perspectives. There's a natural divide in community in general. If you walk outside, people will be like, that freaking weirdo over there with the gauges or piercings, what the heck? And we're over here like that Sunday church looking person over there with the collar neck. What is this? That's just like really funny stuff to me. But you can put that in, I'm going to go hella deep in here though. You can go that for countries. A lot of people, we're at war for no apparent reasons. Just because someone has a different view. Wow, you're a human being with different views. Shocking. I'm supposed to think like you? I'm so sorry that I don't think like you. Are you going to come at me for that? You probably are. And we go for war for these things. What the heck? I'm just saying. Why do we have to go ahead and see a natural divide just because someone has a different view of yours? Nonsense. I don't think I would be friends with most of the people that I know today if I still had this lens of, You don't think the same way I do, then you're not with me, man. You would not be expanding. Expansion is newness. creativity, newness, things new. You can't do that if you're thinking the same thing you always do. So sorry, you're never going to get anywhere if you just keep the same things you're thinking all the time. Because like I said, we're not perfect. And everyone else brings a nice little dressing to the salad all the time. Let's look at that instead. And now, we're back to the Bible. So, Paul sees this division, and as a representative, and what we are going to learn in these keynotes of, this is just chapters 1-4, I was going to go for, like, the whole thing, and then there's just so much meat in general in just 4 chapters. You can only do 1 sermon about it. So maybe if I'm back, you might get more. Who knows? I keep thinking of my brother, and he's, like, so conservative. And I'm like, I just thought about it right now. I'm like, when Bobby was up here, it was so interesting. Now I'm here. What a difference. See, you're getting the message. You're getting the message. There you go. Okay. So naturally, Paul sees this natural divide. And what we are going to learn, and I will go over these points as well, just so we all be on the same page. He sees this divide, and he's telling all of them, no, the whole point of building these churches and this new covenant was just so you guys aren't divided, is so all of you are accepted. And you can even take that out of church terms as well. Accept whoever. Just if you're at work and someone has a better resume than you, does not mean you should come at them because they have a better resume than you. Accept them for that. Bring their newness and their new perspectives to yours, and maybe, who knows, you'll grow something. A business, a prosperity. Who knows? Newness. We love it. So both factions were guilty in the Old Testament. And as we said, we are not perfect. But due to this new creation of God, this new covenant with Jesus, everyone is unjudged and way past sin. It is their choice if they want to pick up their sins or not and take it with them. which also means it's your... Make fun of me over there. It is your choice if you want to go ahead and say, I'm feeling really stressed out today and really depressed. I'm going to let that eat me up all day inside. That's because that was my choice. And instead, Jesus is saying, no, you can actually look outside and say, look, the sun is shining. If it's not, there's clouds. Clouds bring rain. Awesome. There is different little things you can do in your day just to put it into perspective of being thankful for something. Instead of carrying your crossing, instead of carrying your baggage with you, that can go into your relationships, your marriages, your workplace. People can feel that vibe, bro. If you bring in all your crap, they're like, what the heck are you doing? Like, you can feel that. No one likes that. And just drop it. That's the whole thing of Jesus. Drop it. You're fine. You're new, fresh, cleansed. Like coming out of the shower, and you're like, yes, I am new today. Why am I so weird? Okay, so Paul wants us to be unified, and this is where we come into the next, like, topic or something that we're, I don't know what to call it. I think it's topic, I think. So he wants us to be in unification, which is exactly what it is all funneling down to. We should all coexist. That is a beautiful thing, coexistence. If everyone looked the same, if everyone thought the same, if everyone did the same things, life would be boring. God created everything different. Have you ever seen a tree that is the same? There's maple trees, there's oak trees, birds. Oh my God, there's so many birds out there. It's really bad. They're all birds. We're all people, but different types. And we're all beautiful and amazing. Good things. That's exactly what he's trying to come down to, is no one should have to be in strain, law, and restriction and tradition to be exactly the same. You are free to make your choice. You are free to do whatever you want, and that should be coexisting. I'm just going to step out of the boundary. I'm looking at Mike right now, hoping I can do this. I'm going to step by the boundary. You ever see those coexist stickers on people's bumpers? I freaking love that bumper sticker. Come on! That is honestly, they don't even know what they're doing because Jesus is honestly in that. You should coexist together. Let God do their relationship. Doesn't mean you should force them to do that. I hated it when people forced me to be, I resented it more. Let God take care of that. He's bigger than any choice we can make anyways. He could probably do it better than us. that he can do it better than us. So let's let him do that and be obedient to the fact of saying, okay, God, I am going to work on my relationship with you, and you can go ahead and affect the people around me. I'm not going to go and take on that burden instead. And even if they don't choose it, that's okay too. Because like I said, we are imperfect, so it doesn't mean we should look at other people as imperfect either. Alrighty. What was my next note? I literally looked at you and I was like, I hope I can say this right now. But yes, we should all coexist together. And so there is a faction of community and no one is casted out. That is what it should be. You should find yourself in a home. I don't know if you can feel it now, but like, this is a family kind of setting. It's not like you're going to somewhere and you have to dress your Sunday best button up tie. Alrighty then, let's perform and look like I'm doing okay today. No, you can come into a family and feel loved and heart filled, and that's the way it should be. Even if you aren't in religious standards or like Christian standards, you should still do that anyways. Let people know that like they're loved and they don't have to hide their things, because if you bottle it, it's gonna explode later. All right. So that was chapters 1-4, and I want to go ahead and just bullet point a little bit what I just talked to, because there was a lot in there, and I feel like I sometimes segue. So the last note was the community and no one is casted out, and this is exactly what Paul is trying to speak about in his letters to the Romans, and it's leaving our past selves and baggage and laying that down in turn for what we can be. You can lay that down and do something with your life instead of holding on to that and thinking, this is all I'm ever going to be. Let's just go ahead and let life happen to me instead of making choices for yourself and letting you happen to life. Go do something. You can do it. I freaking went across the country. Who thought that would happen? I sell art for a living. Yeah, I do. Who? When? Where? And why? You know how many people told me I was, like, weird for doing that? You're never making a living. I'm doing it for myself. You can go ahead and put your choices somewhere else. So you're leaving your past self. If I still thought the same way as I did, that this is how life is going to be, let it happen to me, I would probably still be, like, here. I love here. Not going to lie. I love here. But I would still be here thinking, well, everyone else is going to school. I should go to school. Everyone else is doing this. Maybe this is how I should do it. Because I didn't have an identity, and I just kind of just went, I really hope a bus runs over me today. Like, that is not a way to live. Go ahead and make a choice for yourself. Instead of choosing that and going, I'll follow the motions, go ahead and choose something that you want to do. I sell art for a living. I freaking love it. I sold a painting for $500. Rent paid for. Perfect. That's in one setting. Awesome. That's a choice you can make for yourself. And it doesn't happen in a second. It happens in a long period of time. Yes, but that's your faithfulness to go ahead and do that. And that's faithfulness not even in God. It's faithfulness for yourself. For yourself. How beautiful is that? God gives you the choice to have faithfulness in yourself and trust in yourself to do something. So that is the first topic that we got on. Now we're going on to the second topic that we just touched on, which is stop promoting and living in fear of religion, law, and regulation. So example, like, some people are, like, afraid to dress in church, like they have to be in ties and dresses. That's just a small baby example of a religious mindset, but it can go into a wider scale of, oh, you'd think this way about something? Okay, I'm not gonna go ahead. Okay, cool. I saw that. Good, I'm wrapping up too. So instead of looking at something and judging it and thinking of it as a law and regulation, just lay it down. You don't have to judge other people. You shouldn't. It's a lot to judge other people. It's too much. Stop doing it and stop promoting fear of religion into people. I see it all the time, and I'm sorry. I don't think I'm coming at anyone right now because y'all are great. But out there are people who are just promoting so much religion, and it makes me want to cry so bad. Like, just because someone does this does not mean that is them. That is not their identity. If someone goes ahead and kicks a puppy, doesn't mean they're a puppy kicker. I don't know. That was the first thing that popped into my head. I'm sorry. Like, that's just, you're not that identity. These bad things are not your identity. Your identity is the goal that we see in you. So you can be a caring, loving person. You can be a motherly figure. You can be a good sister. You could be a great cook. Take that. That's your, yes. You're a daughter and son of the man who died for you, so you no longer had to live in fear of regulation. You were a daughter and son of someone, ooh, I got the claps. That means I'm doing good. You're a daughter and a son of someone who went, no, I don't see these things in you. I see gold in you. So let's go ahead and pass that out. And I want you to be a representative of me. Screw all the crap that you went through. I want you to be a representative of me. And take that. Just take it. That's a great thing. That's some precious stuff right there. And then three is the unification of community. And you know, you see how like it flows a little bit? I don't know if you see it. I'll let you see it for yourself. But it flows a little bit down to the funnel of unification. Because once we stop focusing on this person is doing this, judging them for that, having this mindset of religion of they're not doing this, so that means they're bad, or they do this, which equals they're bad, or if they go to church on the Sabbath, that means they're good. Why? Anyways, so it funnels down to this unification of community, and no matter what you do, you are in community with God. Even if you're not in a church, you're still in a community with Jesus. That invitation is always set out for you. And it's a beautiful thing. And that's for you to grab, no one else. And that's the most beautiful thing as well, is God does not allow you to push you into something. He lets you take the choice yourself. And either that be coming to Christ yourself or even like just doing something. Like, you have the choice to do it. You're not forced to do it. And that's something really beautiful. And no one else should force you to do it either. I'm so tired of people forcing others to love God. That's for themselves. Stop it. Let them do that for themselves, because it's more beautiful if it's like seeing two couples together and you're like forcing them to go on a date and they're like, no, I don't really want to today. Like, I want to just sit at home and watch a movie. And they're like, no, go out, meet this person. They're going to love you. What? Why? How are they going to love them? You feel forced. You're like, do this today. Like, I can't do anything else, I guess. That's not a choice. That's being forced to do something. You go, I have to do this. Oh, I can't do, I'm sorry, I can't be this way, because if I do, I'm going to be condemned to hell. I'm like getting so into this because I'm so passionate about it. I'm so sick and tired of seeing it. So it funnels down to the unification of community. Be in community with others. Coexist. It's the way life should be. The world is, we are living in Earth. You know how you live on a planet full of things that are different, amazing, colorful, and awesome. Coexist with that. If you look the same as everything else, it's boring as heck. So, anyways, what I'm trying to say is, like, this is honestly the greatest letter for even just the four chapters that we're going in. We're getting to a beautiful mindset of coming in from old to new and living in community instead of judgment, and having radical love and knowing that you're a son and daughter instead of judging other people because they're not. And so I'm going to end with that. I think I'm done.
Thank you. I just wish you'd show your personality more in your preaching. Oh. That would be. Don't hold back next time, okay? Oh, thank you. It's awesome, awesome. You know what's so cool about what Tori shared and what Bill shared earlier? Bill didn't know what Tori was preaching on. And when he shared with me, I had an idea because I saw her notes. But when he shared, I'm like, you got to share that today. Because that's who Christ is. You know, our job, I can't change anybody. There's nothing I can do, even as pastor. I can't change you. All I can do is draw you as best as I can, point you to Christ, lead you to Him, try to create an atmosphere of love because of Christ, not my love, His love through me, and let Him speak to your heart. I make choices for my wife because I love her, not because I have to. The deeper I fall in love with Jesus, the more I make the choices that honor His heart and His love. And I learn to love the things and the people that He loves. And that's what it's all about. It all begins with loving Christ. And when we love Him, His love will just naturally flow. Rather than judgment, we have compassion. Rather than disdain, we see who people can be, not what they are. You know, we're an equipping church. As an equipping church, you know, we do things a little different in that we let people grow into their calling and anointing and purpose. So we give opportunities. There's freedom to make mistakes at times. And I'm so grateful for Tori. I was sharing with her earlier. First time I preached, I was the pastor was told never let me preach again. So you're way above that. Okay? So, but Christ is the heart of God on earth, revealed. If you ever struggled with that, and I'm so glad you shared that, Tori, you know, that you struggled with those things in your relationship. If you ever struggle, we want to bless you right now. Would you stand with me? As Amy and Luke just kind of play a little bit, I just want you just take a few moments. We're almost done here. Just take a few moments and just close your eyes, open up your heart, and just listen. Listen. Holy Spirit's going to be speaking to many of you, if not all of you. I know He wants to speak to all of you. Just listen to what He's telling you. Even if this is first time in a church, you've never accepted, you've never believed in God, it's okay. Just listen. Holy Spirit, come right now. Holy Spirit, come. You may feel warmth. You might feel embraced. You might feel a touch. You might have new thoughts coming into your heart and mind. Lord, we just release that because Jesus loves you. We just release that in the name of Jesus. You are accepted and you are loved. You are welcomed in His presence. Jesus never denied anyone who wanted to see Him, ever. He's not denying you. Thank you, Lord. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, and you want to start a relationship, simply that's just a Christianese word for if you've never had a relationship with Jesus and would like to start a relationship with Jesus for the first time, would you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking around. Just raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just pray for each person in this room. We are grateful for their hearts and who they are. We thank you, God, just for how much you love us and for who you are in our lives. Thank you, God, that you are so passionately in love with us and your sons and daughters, that you do and you have done everything and anything for us. You have never looked at us with eyes of disgust, but love, but eyes of passion and compassion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And as we go, Lord, we walk in your love. We walk in your love. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you. Yeah. Would you turn to the person next to you and just tell them Jesus loves them? Tell them you love him because Jesus loves them.